606. Mara, can you call the roll? Determine the quorum. Look at me doing the right words.
Okay. And Mara, we can't hear you.
Cheryl File.
Yes.
Katie Holmland.
Here.
Jay Lister.
I'm present.
Meg Litster.
Yes, here.
Kinley Lister, our student representative. Here. And Sarah Holmgren, have you logged on yet? So we will mark her when she is ready, but you have a quorum, you can conduct business.
Okay, will you go back? Is the agenda on the website? Can I just pull it up? Or can you email it to my personal email account? I can pull it up if you can't keep putting it on the screen here.
I think she can probably just put it up there.
Sorry, I should have printed it out. I didn't realize that Sarah was not going to be present.
It's all good. We'll do it.
Is the pledge next?
Yes, I'm going to go to a different view, but yes, you can lead us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pledge of Allegiance. Stand where you are. Find a flag, y'all. I pledge allegiance to the United States of America. And
to the republic for which it stands.
One nation under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I didn't have a flag to look at, so that route memorization was not there. I apologize. Okay, can I have a motion to approve the agenda for tonight's meeting?
I'll make a motion to approve. Or a second.
I'll second it.
Okay.
I think it's been too long since we've done these meetings remote.
Yeah. It's tricky. So the agenda has been approved as written. Thank you. Do we have to voice vote on that too? No? I don't know.
Yes, you do.
Okay, can you call for that?
Yes. Jay Lister?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren absent. Meg Litster?
Yes.
Cheryl File?
Yes.
Katie Holmland?
Yes.
Kinley Lister?
Yes.
Your agenda passed.
Okay, great. It has passed as written. We will move into this student presentation. All yours, Kinley.
Okay, so the school is currently in the third week of red, and while in the red zone, all activities are canceled and students have been learning virtually. Before the shutdown, basketball, cheerleading, and esports were all practicing with some track students doing preseason weightlifting. That band has also been practicing, but has not been allowed to perform once this year. Switching to life online is the biggest impact of being on red. Online learning follows the exact same schedule students would have for in-person learning. This style of education has some very negative aspects to it that need to be brought to light. A typical day for a student right now starts with the first meeting at 8:15. There are three Zoom meetings having students have to attend before lunch at 12 o'clock. Then after lunch, students go to the fourth class for 90 minutes and school is over by 2:10. This means that student and staff have to spend about 5.5 hours sitting at a computer. Homework expectations stay the same, so depending on the course load, some students are spending an additional few hours completing homework on the computer. Studies have already proven that long amounts of screen time is harmful for anyone. Many high schoolers are struggling to perform as well in school virtually as they would in person. After sitting at a computer for so long, it can be challenging to go and spend the additional time required to complete homework. Because of this, students may have been noticing their grades dropping. normally after school is a time where students are able to get help. Now that school is online, some learners might not realize that this resource is available, or they are uncomfortable meeting with just their teacher through Zoom. Virtual learning provides unequal education. Some students whose family have low income or simply choose not to pay for the internet cannot learn virtually. Other students who have poor reception or bad internet connection can only hear little snippets of the meeting, making it almost impossible to follow the lesson and learn the required material. Online school can also be very isolating as students sit by themselves all day. And for teens, this can be very damaging to their mental health. Moving forward, the decision to stay in red should not be taken lightly or made easily without consideration for students' academic success and general health. And that's all.
Thank you for sharing your perspective on that and what you see your peers going through. I know it takes a lot of courage to get up there and go against what a lot of people are saying is what is right now. So thank you for coming forward. Do any board members have anything to ask or share about that?
Thank you, Kinley. That was very well said.
Thank you.
Okay. Mara, was someone else?
Sorry, just wanting to let everybody know and in radio land that Sarah Holmgren has joined the meeting.
Oh, good. Okay, Sarah.
I apologize for those that own beagles. They were the source of why I am late.
Glad you made it.
Happy birthday. Everybody's still alive, barely.
Good. Well, welcome, Sarah. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Oh, thanks. It was until a little bit ago. It'll be fine. So sorry. Sorry I was so late. I didn't even realize it was so close to six when we had an incident. So was that student presentation, I'm assuming, Kinley? I'm sorry I missed part of it. I did hear a bit of it. And it sounds like it was in relation to online learning and the difficulties that maybe you have experienced as well as others.
Yeah, everyone has their own struggles with it, but we can kind of tell what other students are going through.
Mm-hmm. Do you have, is it possible, maybe you could email me your, what you read? Did you have it written up?
Yeah, just sure, I can do that.
Okay, that'd be great, just because I feel like I missed part of it, so I'd like to be able to read it. And you can do that after the meeting. That's fine. Thank you. And thank you, Katie, for taking over for me. Okay, so next, I guess we'll move on to number 7, correspondence. Mara, do we have any correspondence? I don't think we do.
We do have a letter, but I wanted to read it a little bit later in the personnel action report.
Okay, all right. Well, we can wait for that then. Comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items. Mara, do we have anybody?
We will have someone to speak unrelated to agenda items, okay. But not okay. Unrelated.
Okay, so it doesn't, we have anyone for number 8. Number 9, comments for the from the audience related to agenda items. Mara, we have someone?
Yes, you have Amanda Omer, and I'm going to go ahead and unmute her.
Okay, go ahead, Amanda, when you're unmuted.
Okay, can you guys hear me?
We can.
Wow, I'm kind of new to this whole Zoom thing. I'm useless when I'm helping my daughter do it. So this will be a first for using it to actually speak to somebody. So I'm calling in regards to the proposed antigen testing for requirement for school sports. I'm not a fan. I'm extremely opposed to it. Since I heard about it, I started doing some research, and I've gotten a lot of information from the CDC, which I know that the school district has used in a lot of their mitigation and their strategies. And you know, and I am so thankful that our children can be in person school. I all over the nation, there's people whose kids are not getting the proper education, and ours are definitely not some of them. So I'm thankful for that. However, what I pulled off of the CDC here, when testing is not recommended, if a school is implementing a testing strategy, testing should be offered on a voluntary basis. It is unethical and illegal to test someone who does not want to be tested, including students whose parents or guardians do not want them to be tested. It's not recommended to retest individuals who have tested positive and do not have symptoms for COVID-19 for up to 3 months from their last positive test. Data currently suggests that some individuals test persistently positive due to residual virus material, but are unlikely to be infectious. Parents or guardians may request documentation from their healthcare provider to indicate the date and type of the student's most recent COVID test. So while I understand that this would be, we would have to sign and say, yes, test our children in order for them to play sports, it's really not a choice. There's no other, there are no other options for sports really offered for our children. It's either school sports from Parks and Rec, and Parks and Rec has not been, they've not been able to offer anything comparable to what our kids would be experiencing in school sports. So while I understand that a parent would have to sign off on weekly testing in order for their kids to play sports, it really would not be voluntary. We would be forced into do it, or we would have to let our kids, lounge on the couch instead of playing basketball and volleyball, which my daughter would certainly be disappointed to not be able to do that if the weekly testing requirements go through. There's no there's no data on long-term testings of students. I've spoken with friends down south who have to test more than once a week. And a friend of mine said that her son experiences sore nose, nosebleeds, and headaches from the testing, the repeated testing. And so I just want to say that I am 100% extremely opposed to requiring this. I feel that the temperature checks, the no symptom policy, our pods and our social distancing, and then our contact tracing, and then just trusting parents not to send their kids to school sick. I think all of those plans that we have currently in place are keeping our children safe. And up until this most recent outbreak, which I believe that Petersburg and the school district as a whole has recovered from fantastically, I just don't see why this, I don't see the need for this extra box to check for our kids to be able to play sports. And I thank you for listening, and I appreciate all that you guys do and all the care and concern that you guys put into our children. Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda. Just as a reminder for the community listening, as well as Amanda, and I should have said it ahead of time, is that during the comment section, people can do exactly what Amanda did, which was tell us what her thoughts and opinions or viewpoint is. We can't have an open dialogue about it with her. That's for outside the meeting. But we will be talking about it further on the agenda. And so we might refer back to her at that point. So I'll move on if we don't have any more comments from the audience related to the agenda items, Mara. We don't have anybody in the waiting. Okay. I'm just looking to see other people. It's hard for me to see who
I do not. Okay. I do not have anyone else.
I just, mine only waiting. Shows Sorry, four people. So I can see 16 okay. participants, but I just can't see all of them at the same time. So, okay. So we'll move on then to comments from board members. So it can be about anything from the board. Right now. Does anybody have any comments? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to 11, consent agenda. I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda for March 9th, 2021. Could I have a second?
I'll second. This is Katie.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded by Katie. Any discussion? As a reminder, it includes not only our monthly accounting reports, but also our regular board meeting minutes and personnel action for any personnel approvals and hires. Motion's been made and seconded by Katie. Mara, can you please call the roll?
Yes. Kinley Lister?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Cheryl File?
Yes.
Katie Holmland?
Yes.
Meg Litster?
Yes.
And Sarah Holmgren?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Next, we'll move on to administrative reports, and we'll start with Superintendent, Superintendent Clint Painter.
I'll go ahead and unmute myself. We really are all getting our brains back on this, on the meeting part of this. Okay, so see, you're not alone, Sarah. So good evening, everybody. And I think the biggest things that we've been working on recently, of course, is just, you know, working through the process and managing this this remote learning recently, which has been challenging, as Kinley alluded to, and certainly not our first choice, as we often talk about. So I do feel very positively that we are moving in the right direction as a community, which we are a direct reflection of the actions there and just those case numbers. And as we've done all the way through the year, we've really tried to make those decisions based not just on the community numbers, but also on the specific and deliberate or the connections to the school. And that's been something that I think has helped us. I think even Amanda as a parent mentioned that too, that, you know, if there's those really a lot of connections to the school, that has a big impact on what we can do. When the numbers exploded to what they did further along, it became pretty evident that we just were not going to be able to make that case to stay open. And then the other thing that happens is then we're always kind of at the whim of staffing issues because we're such a small community that either within our school community itself or just connections in a small community, lots of contact tracing and close contacts were identified. And so we actually ran into a staffing issue as well. So the good thing is we're coming out on the other side, and having these amount of time out of the building in a congregate setting helps us move toward kind of clearing the deck on those cases. And so, you know, we're very hopeful that we will be back in person education after spring break. And we're just going to keep watching those numbers and keep everybody posted. But that's the goal right now, and we are moving in that good direction. So definitely in that lower positivity rate, which is important for us in the community. So that is definitely the goal. We are also still working through the negotiation process with the teachers union, and that's been a little bit on hold as well. So probably we'll start back up on that again after spring break. Also working through some of the legislative items that are coming forward, still having different testimony and meetings about the READS Act and where that's going, Senate Bill 8, and what that's looking like as far as supporting our early learners and our early, all the way preschool, all the way through third grade, and of course beyond, but definitely that intentional focus on reading and early intervention. So we continue to move through that process and get our preschool out there and running. Moving through that process as well. We are, at this point, the state is still planning to move forward with the PEAKS assessment. I am not sure exactly how that's going to look. I think it's going to be very challenging because there are many schools that have either been remote most of the year or have been very disrupted. We have been very fortunate here. We've made it basically the entire year with a couple of small disruptions until this point, and then hopefully getting back on track. So we're really in better shape than most, but it's tricky. And we're having a lot of conversations about, you know, does it provide the best data and best information that really gives us an accurate picture of how our students are doing? And what does that mean for the entire state? So we're still in conversation with the commissioner about that. And then of course there's a new, Secretary of Education that's moving into the current administration. So there's still conversations happening even over these next couple weeks. So we are moving towards something this spring. They are still saying PEAKS. I'm not sure what that will look like. There we may end up also looking at some of our map data. That's been a request and a recommendation that a lot of districts are making. Could we use some of the tools that we're already implementing? But even that was disrupted for us over these last few weeks, our own map testing because of the return to remote learning. So it's just another one of those interesting bumps that we're trying to work through, and we'll keep you posted on that as we're moving toward April. Also moving through some of the hiring process, I think Mr. Dormer and Ms. Kahn will talk a little bit more about that specifically for their buildings. Also trying to think about what budgets might look like and the crystal ball for next year. Looking at student enrollment, we appreciate people giving us their input about what they're thinking for next year. We've learned about, you know, some different things, whether people are moving or you know, just that's what we needed. So we appreciate people giving us the feedback on what their plans are for next year so we can start making some plans for staffing as we move forward. And then I just would like to recognize a couple of the teachers who are retiring at the end of the school year, and they were listed there in the personnel action, and they're a couple of our longtime educators in Petersburg, and they're both going to be leaving us at the end of the year after long and illustrious careers here in Petersburg, 25 and 25 and a half years consecutively with Miss Joanne Day from the middle school and Miss Ginger Evans. So we have been privileged to have them with us in our district for all these years, and just leaders among our community. So we sure wish them well and thank them for their service to our district. So I think that's it for me.
Oh, any questions? I do have one. Would the PEAKS, are we required to do the PEAKS assessment? I can't remember.
Yes, that's,
okay.
Yeah.
And is that a national one? Is that my recollection?
No,
it's a state one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I don't know why I thought it was a national one. I'm just trying to figure out what the point is when we've missed so much school in the spring, and then majority of the districts in the state of Alaska have not had that, had the benefit that we have had, that they would still be trying to drag everybody through testing instead of just letting them get through material. But that's my own little soapbox.
You can come testify with me next time, because that's what basically what we've been saying is
it's okay. Remind me, I will.
It's another week, like you say, another week potentially lost of instructional time as well, in time where it's so valuable. So that's, mm-hmm.
Are parents allowed to opt their kids out of that particular one or not? Like, which ones can we opt our kids out of?
Parents can opt their kids out of that test, yes.
PEAKS. So should we all just opt our kids out? Do the district?
Well, that will skew data in other ways. If we have to,
that's
do it,
true.
We would to have, you know, if we do it, we're going to do it to the best of our ability, is what I should say, and we will certainly do it, you know, with as much support as we can, as we always do for our kids. So,
but if you are a parent that does not feel like this is a necessary thing for your child, you can email the district and opt out.
Yeah, there's a process for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I don't have the digital agenda on in front of me, and I don't have my other one. Sorry. So I'm not sure who's next up after you. This is bad. I got to move. I should have printed it off. Yes. I'm going to do it right now. Okay. Whoever's next up while I'm printing. Sorry.
It is your elementary principal, Heather.
Oh, thank you. Usually I keep myself a paper copy nearby. So go ahead, Ms. Kahn, sorry.
Hi, thank you guys. We've had a lot that's happened and a lot that's going to happen as we're moving into our really busy part of the school year. So starting off, we were in the process of MAP growth and MAP fluency testing. Because the windows came between the winter and the spring, we're unsure right now. It has been canceled. So that we have some data, we don't have all data. Some classes, we don't have all classes. Some students, because some were gone and absent from the building. The conferences were virtual. They were last week on March 3rd and 4th. We've had attendance, but not like in-person attendance. And today we had our first discussion as to whether or not what we would look like for next year with conferences. I believe everybody is proactive in thinking we want in-person conferences, but virtual is a nice option if needed. We also had our classroom spelling bees. So congratulations to third grade winners, Tori and Nadia, Una, Savina, Lucia, and Rebel. And congratulations to our fourth grade winners, Quincy, Joe, Ashlyn, Andy, Nate, and Jackson. Our fifth grade winners, Kaya, Cadence, Ari, John, Seamus, and Mason. And then we had some alternates, Silas, Olivia, Evelyn, Evan, Neil, Simone, Mayel, and Sophia. We recently canceled the school spelling bee, the school and district spelling bee, and I just want to give a shout out to those parents who advocated. I heard you. I think I've responded to everybody that has sent me emails and phone calls and texts. And we are working something out. Although we've missed the state deadline for the spelling bee, we are trying to play with the option of moving forward with just a school bee. So thank you for those parents that were advocating for that. That helps out. Just special acknowledgments that I wanted to give shout outs tonight was to Charlene, our custodian, Susan Holmes, Liz Powick, Cheryl O'Neill, and Irene Littleton. Thank you so much for stepping up. They are all retired educators and came in for assistance on our day that we had no subs in our district. So just a big shout out to them. Also a shout out to Ethan. He's not retired. He's just starting, but just that shout out. Current enrollment is 206. We are adding an after-school program starting April 5th. We've moved that deadline to Girls on the Run. We have three coaches, and of course, they're always looking for substitute coaches. The sessions will be Mondays and Wednesdays from 2:30 to 3:30 at the school with a snack provided. We continue to follow the Alaska Reads Act, and we actually signed I think Erica, you signed the application for preschool today. We filled it out and it is signed and scanned in, and Kristen Spencer is going to review it and get back to us. But preschool, we have determined, is going to be open the day after Labor Day, September 7th, ending on May 27th. So starting a week later than what we have on our calendar, ending a week earlier than what we have on our calendar, and then following the school calendar, Tuesday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. Our application process will be starting in April 1st, going through May 31st. The applications will be reviewed on June 1st, and then parents notified the week of May 31st. We have our school days for next year. We're still looking at, of course, there's going to be Monday through Friday, and everything else right now is still in discussion, and we'll have further discussion in April, May, with making some decisions. Our special ed population, our numbers continue to increase. Right now, we currently have 49, and we have 9 referrals that are waiting. We're finding it difficult right now with a virtual psychologist through CERC, and that is kind of slowing down our process of evaluations, or evaluating students and trying to figure out what their needs are. So we're kind of in a standstill, unsure of what to do, but we're working through it. And then we, of course, have our special education interviews. They are in process this week. And we are hoping to have some decision by the end of this week or next week. And so we're looking forward to our spring break and beyond, and hopefully in-person education. We have moved our migrant Title I pizza party event to March 22nd or 26th for right now, which will have Coast Guard present there for radio etiquette. We completed our enrollment survey for 2021-2022. I just thank you all for answering the phones. we had to divide this task up as there was a lot of people who hadn't taken it, but we needed numbers in order to start planning for next year. So a lot of parents and guardians got phone calls on the cell phones. That was very interesting from not school numbers. And we got a lot of feedback from that. And then of course we have what's to come, the Girls on the Run. And our artist in residence has moved from this, from March 20th to April 10th. So we're just kind of pushing that forward a little bit at that time. But that's it for me. Any questions?
This is Meg. I wondered if we have the results or if we're going to talk about the projections for enrollment for next year, or are you still kind of tallying that information up?
I can elaborate right now if that's okay, or I can wait. Would you guys like to hear that?
Yeah, I think that'd be good to hear now, if that's all right.
Okay. All right. So for kindergarten next year, we have 22 yeses, 5 maybes, and 1 no. For first grade, we have 36 yeses, 3 maybes, and 1 no. For second grade, we have 30 yeses, 4 maybes, and 1 no. For third grade, we have 38 yeses, 1 maybe. For fourth grade, we have 34 yeses, 2 maybes, and 4 no's. And for fifth grade, we have 30 yeses, 3 maybes, and 2 no's at that point.
So still, even in a normal year, those are still pretty small classroom sizes.
Yes, they are.
Only 22 kindergartners, huh? Wow.
Well, with five maybes.
Yeah, that's true. You could be up close to 30 at some point with the question mark of who may or may not move into town over the next 6 months.
The no's are Coast Guard families. The majority Coast Guard families. There are a few no's that are not.
Anybody have any other questions for Heather? Great. All right. We'll move. Thank you, Mrs. Kahn. We'll move on to Mr. Grummer for the middle school high school report.
Hello. Good evening. Hear me okay, even though my camera freezes a little like that? Okay, great. I'll talk through it and the camera will catch up with me. We continue to check grade reports, but I didn't prepare a grade data report as I have just because we've swung into COVID and kind of with that adjustment, I didn't think they were grade comparing month to month. I hope that's okay. We'll hopefully get back on it for April and take a look at the grade reports. As Ms. Kahn said, I also want to thank our families who took time to participate in parent-teacher conferences. Especially the virtual ones are kind of fun. Our teachers expressed the same thing. They enjoyed the conversations. Several positive comments from staff and from parents about the virtual conferences. And of course, similarly, we'll continue to talk about what that could look like. Hopefully we have an option to be in person for some conferences next fall, but recognizing there is some power and potential in the virtual conference. So this year in the high school, we tried a new virtual kind of online scheduler for scheduling those conferences that could still be used for in-person. Thanks to John Painter for doing a lot of background work to get that set up. And that was kind of fun. I hope we heard good things from families as well, being able just to go and kind of pick a window and schedule themselves in there. So it's pretty straightforward process. Thanks to Mr. Cabral and Marcia Sandhoffer. They organized, I'd like to provide food on those nights because teachers are so busy. And obviously we weren't in person. We didn't want to do a buffet or something. So Jamie and Marcia organized from Joe and Mai and then staff members who were at home. Jamie and I got to run and deliver, which was really fun. So appreciate Joe and Mai doing that. It was fun and a little meal there. It was cool. In the high school, we are right in the middle of our Alaska Safe Children's. This fulfills the Aarons and Breeze Law. We're talking about healthy relationships, as well as the high school gets in a little more touchy subject and touches on sexual assault and that type of prevention, which is really important for our high school kids. Thank you again to Ms. Turner, and then Wave's doing a great job there joining in and helping with some of the presentations, as well as, of course, our staff presenting. So we're right in the middle of those. We have one coming up tomorrow for about half the high school kids. Our superintendent discussed the peak summative assessment. We were talking about those just this morning. If we do go forward with that large scale statewide assessment, then those exams in the secondary school would happen the first week of April. Thanks, Bridget Whitstock and Jenna Turner have been doing a lot of organizing there, and we come up with kind of a odd schedule to try to make it all work, because we only test 9th and 10th graders at the high school, but all middle school students. So anyway, putting that together, and then of course there's the science exam, which is a kind of a field test, but we're doing that in select grades as well. So we're kind of looking at that. Again, we don't know for sure, but if it does happen, we're kind of planning when we would normally take it in the secondary schools, first week April. Well, as you know, as a board, we are saying happy retirement and congratulations to Joanne Day and Ginger Evans. And wow, talk about many, many years. Thank you them both publicly. And of course, we'll celebrate later as a staff, but thank you for many, many years of serving children and the impact there. That is a hole that we'll not be able to fill immediately, of course, with all those years of service and the institutional knowledge and the relationships. But of course, we will we'll look at posting those positions. So what's happening right now is we're interviewing for the middle school special education position and should have that process completed by this Friday. And then we are planning to, and of course we want to continue to talk budget, et cetera, with the superintendent, but plan to post for a sixth grade teacher. One of those is an emergency contract this year. Plan to post, of course, that middle school science teacher that Ms. Day's been doing. And then currently right now, Mrs. Evans is a high school, actually currently right now she's in the elementary school part-time, but traditionally has been a high school social studies and PE teacher. So we'll look at what we're gonna post there specifically. It may not be high school social studies and PE, it could be all social studies, it could be a couple different things depending on what our needs are. So we'll meet with the staff and discuss that soon. Tying with that, we're continuing to talk about the bell schedule and are narrowing down our options for what that could look like for 21 and 22. I do not have right now in front of me the student forecast numbers. We did this survey, as you probably know. If the board would like, I'd be happy to dig that up and email it to you at a later time. It's a little different in secondary schools, and we get a lot of information when we forecast our bell schedule, but we did the survey and could pass that data on if you'd like that. A couple more here. Thank you for our students. Just a chance as we kind of close out and get headed into spring break, our students have done, as always, have just been exceptional. Kinley just summed it up really well in that this is not ideal learning, and we know that. And it's hard, and it's hard for different students for different reasons, whether it's an internet issue or where they live, or it's a family issue, or it's a childcare. There's so many challenges, and really our secondary students have been outstanding at logging in, being engaged in what's going on. Again, that comes also from great teachers, creating these lessons that are engaging and using some of the many, many tools that they're practiced and they're good at that allow kids to engage in the lesson virtually. And then of course the flexibility where they're not, you know, keeping them for an entire 90 minutes on the screen. That's not good for kids, and being able to work through the challenges that a kid presents. So it's really been, I think, as good as it could be considering so much. I heard the term Ring Central meeting fatigue today. We've kind of talked about Zoom fatigue before, but RCM fatigue, and teachers feel it and students feel it. Administrators feeling, and I know Mrs. KP said she was in over 7 hours of meeting straight, you know, just sitting here staring at the screen is draining. But at the same time, thank you again, students, for making the best of it. And we know that some learning's happening despite the barriers. And here's hoping on March 22, we'll be back in person. So I hope our staff and students have an outstanding, a safe, and just enjoyable, relaxing spring break. I just want to also note the end of the quarter, number 3 is Wednesday, March 31st, which is a week and a half when we return. So that's the end of my report.
Sorry, I couldn't get myself unmuted fast enough. Thank you, Mr. Dormer. Anybody have any questions for Mr. Dormer? I think I'd just be curious to see if we're going up or down as whole numbers for middle school and high school. You know, what does middle school look like compared to this last year and then high school? I don't know. By grade is probably not as necessary because it gets so fluid in high school with grades cross from one to different classes. You know, you get a mixture. So I just kind of, it's just more curiosity to see if we're adjusting
significantly. Yeah. Yeah, no, I'll get that data out to you. The one thing we know for sure is our current eighth graders headed into high school is the largest, I believe, in the district. They've been as high as 46, 47 this year. They're down about 44. So that's a large class as we look
at bigger than what we're graduating.
Yeah, exactly. So
not that that's, and it only affects the high school, I guess, you know, for sports, but. Yeah. All right, any other questions? Okay, we'll move on to activities report. Mr. Cabral, take it away.
Hello, all. Good evening. Yes, we are rolling as much as we can right now. All of our activities right now have been in a standstill. Our last get together was with our basketball kids on Saturday, the 20th of February. So it's been a while, but coaches keep meeting with their kids virtually, checking in with them, doing some activities online with them as well. So kind of cool to meet with the kids that way. Some really cool questions that Coach Brock got to do with his kids too. So kind of cool doing some film watching in the middle of our close or shutdown as well. But middle school intramurals right now, we are rolling. We actually had three students and we have earned four medals so far with our middle school NYO teams. We did have a gold medal. So congratulations to Paige and Eli and Gunner. We are waiting on our final results. We had three more events that we did virtually last week. Unfortunately, we couldn't get together with the kids in person to practice those last ones, but we got some equipment passed out to the kids that participated. And thanks to the parents too, the parents got to do the videotaping for them. So pretty fun to get the parents involved. We will find out this Friday for our sixth graders was our last three events of the 1 foot high kick, the scissor broad jump and the wrist carry. So that is our last one for sixth graders. Our seventh and eighth graders, along with the any interested high school students, that will be in late April for the senior NYO game. So the seventh and eighth graders still will be practicing, hopefully when we get back. Next on the agenda for middle school intramurals that we're doing, eSports and orienteering geocaching as it starts to get nicer outside. And then we had about 2 weeks of middle school basketball that we did before we went to the shutdown. A little bit different in how we operated with our middle school basketball program that we did there because we were kind of breaking their pods for about an hour. Masks were required when they go indoors, which we'll talk about later in some updated mitigation plans that the state did approve. Masks made it mandatory for state tournaments that are indoors. Outside, it's going to be mandatory if they break 6 feet with another sports player. So if you're playing center field, you don't have to have one on, or if you're running by yourself on the track, you don't have to. But if you break the 6 feet barrier, then the mask is required. So, but we'll get into that later. Esports for PHS, we are rolling, and that is the one activity we can actually do from home. Play versus, and the state has approved. If you have the capabilities, you can participate from home, and our kids are doing great. We had a scrimmage last week. Our kids are at home competing. This week's game was canceled, so we're rescheduling that one, but we've had two matches so far. So it's good for those kids in League of Legends. If you're a platform person and understand platforms, Rocket League is not on the Mac this year, so we're having a little bit of difficulty trying to get that going. So it's harder to play from home just based upon the console that you're on. So that is esports. They are rocking and rolling. Thanks to Coach Painter for meeting with those kids, keeping them rolling, keeping them engaged. And they're actually going to do they have a scheduled game over spring break that they are all attending to. So it's going to be wonderful. Our Art Fest is looking to go 100% virtual this year. We are utilizing Zoom webinars. And if you're a Zoom person, Zoom webinars is awesome. So we're planning that in April. Mrs. Lore also has some PHS student artwork that is getting submitted to the State Virtual National Ocean Science Bowl Art Show that will be taking place March 15th through the 28th. And then we'll post it on our Facebook page of where you can watch the People's Choice Awards, where people can vote on the artwork that's being submitted. And a couple of our students are submitting artwork there. So pretty cool. Thanks for Mrs. Lore to keep that rolling. Music Fest, we are going to attempt to do it virtually this year. Not quite sure what it's going to look like. Very different in the adjudicating process, which usually you have a conductor from down south adjudicating each group and each school's band that they work with. So this year, a little bit different on how we're going to make it all come together. But if you guys were able to see anything with the Southeast Honors music, montage that was put together by our own, I call him Dr. Lenhard. Mr. Matt Lenhard put that montage together. Really, really cool. That's posted on our website. So way cool for our musicians. Right now, yes, we are all virtual and no practices have been taking place with the high case counts. And then I will talk about the antigen screening and everything else for our high-risk students involved in high school activities. Spring activities, we have moved a start date back for wrestling just due to our high case counts and where we are and kind of looking at what the spring is going to look like. But our spring tentative start dates right now are March 22nd for wrestling and high school baseball and high school track. So that is our spring activities. And that's all I got right now till later in the agenda. Questions?
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Cabral. Any other questions from anybody? Leave myself unmuted. Okay. We'll move on to our committee reports. Probably not a whole lot going on over the last few weeks, but crisis, Cheryl.
Nope, nothing. Sorry.
That's all right. I know it's, it takes some time a little bit to get ourselves unmuted. Curriculum, Katie?
Nothing at this time.
Okay. Facilities, Jay?
Nothing right now, but I do have questions. When we normally have a list of our different projects we want to get done. I haven't seen that list this year, so I don't know where we're at with that. So maybe for next time, if somebody can let me know where we're at with all that, I'd appreciate it.
Is that the capital list, Jay?
Yes.
Okay. Yep.
I was thinking about that same thing today.
Legislative liaison, we kind of heavily depend on Mara to fill us in on some of that. I don't think there's probably a whole lot. Mara?
There isn't. The House finally did organize, and so they have been kind of doing a walkthrough of the governor's proposed budget. We haven't really seen what either House has kind of put up as their version of what the budget might look like. So we're kind of sitting there. But the governor had proposed pretty much a flat budget minus the one time 30 million. So fingers crossed that cut, because essentially that would be a cut, would be it. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Negotiations, as Superintendent Clint Painter pointed out earlier, is that we put it on hold when both the school as well as the community went red, and we're hoping to resume after spring break. Policy, we haven't done any work on that either. We haven't had any significant ones from AASB or any even ones that we want to. We started tackling one a year ago, and we haven't gotten back to it, mostly because there's been so much else going on. Technology, Jay, probably not a whole lot.
Nothing right now.
Okay. And wellness, Katie.
Nothing right now.
Okay. Great. Any special recognitions? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Sarah, this is Cheryl. Mm-hmm. If you want, we talked about it at the last meeting after we kind of adjourned that I would go ahead and do policy for you. So if they could put my name on there instead of yours. So you have one less meeting.
Thank you. That's right. Thank you. I'm a little fried tonight. I apologize. Mara, yeah, could you change that to Cheryl, and then Cheryl will get with Superintendent KP to figure out where we need to start, or she needs to start on policy. That would be great. Thank you, Cheryl. I forgot about that. I appreciate it. All right. Next, we'll move on to... any special recognitions?
Yes, happy birthday, Sarah.
Thank you. We don't need to recognize it, though.
Girl.
Moving on to old business. Speaking of old, we are going to, as we've said, we've kept it on the agenda each month to review the travel and return to school protocol. We haven't made any recent changes to it. So I don't know if this would be a good time for any board members to have any input if you want to make suggesting changes or updates or ask any questions or just have a general review.
I do have a question. This is Katie. Our question was just asked by Chelsea at our assembly meeting, but if the travel policy now with new guidance coming out about completely or totally vaccinated people or individuals, how that will change. Are we going to plan? It's probably too early to put anything in our policy like tonight about it. But has there been discussions of that yet? If we have staff or family or whoever traveling that is fully vaccinated, are they going to be exempt from some of these requirements?
Yes, I could speak to that, Katie. So actually we are planning to make that change with our staff. At this point, we are modeling that process after what the medical center is doing as well with regard to fully vaccinated being the full doses plus the 2 weeks. Basically, the only change to this, and this would just be for fully vaccinated staff at this point. So this is more of kind of that, you know, internal management there. But it would, the change would be the requirement for the 5-day quarantine. So there would still be a test required upon return, and then still the mitigation strategies once people are, you know, back in the building, which is the same that it's been. So people would still have their masks. People would still do that. So that is modeled after what the medical center is doing. And I do believe there'll be some changes coming forward, maybe even at the borough level, but that's bigger than me. So we're just kind of looking at just our staff for right now. And then we do have some students who may fall into that as well, because we have some 18-year-old students who have opted into that process and were eligible for it to make the decision on their own. That may be something that may come along for them here also in the next month or two. And the same for the 16-year-olds who are eligible for the Pfizer vaccine. That, of course, is not, that's for families and parents to determine. But, potentially if they were to opt into that option, that is the direction that that I think we would go with students too. But we are going to move forward with that for staff at this point. So, yeah.
Any other questions or comments? I do like that idea, making that adjustment for staff and then potentially students too, because I know of a few that because of their turning 18 were eligible. And then now they're are going to reduce it down to potentially 16 and 17 year olds. So it seems like an appropriate change.
This is Meg. Just wanted to say that I agree. And otherwise, I don't think there's any reason at this point to change the rest of the policy.
We would agree with that just based on, of course, kind of recent events and looking at that as well. And still, I think maintaining that for our students is important and for just for the protection overall. Thanks for that.
I have a question about the funding for testing. Is that supposed to run out end of March? Is the state paying for the funding or the testing?
Is that the airport, you mean, the regular airport testing or the testing that's available right now for like asymptomatic? Is that what you mean, Jay?
I thought all this testing that was going to expire, the state was paying for at the end of March.
I don't believe so. I think it's through June.
Oh, through June. Okay.
Yeah.
This is Meg. I'm pretty certain that there's an agreement in place for travel testing, like you said, Erica, to June. It's a little confusing because there's asymptomatic testing available as well, and it's being conducted at the airport, but it is separate. That the times are different, and it's not related to travel testing, and that's been going kind of on a week by week basis. So you might have heard about that, and if you associate airport with travel, it could be confusing.
You might still be on mute, Sarah.
There we go. Okay, sorry, folks. Okay, any other comments or questions? So we'll just, I guess, anticipate that you'll make any adjustments to the policy, or I guess it's not a policy, the guideline requirements, the administrative regulations, that's the word I'm looking for, to those protocols when maybe get some language or whatever from the medical center when they're, you know, for those that are fully vaccinated.
We'll do it. Thanks.
Okay. Let me get back to my agenda. Yeah. Okay. All right, next we'll move on to new business, which is informational, but it is a description of the BiNeXT Now testing. Many schools in our division and within the Southeast Alaska have begun requiring pre-testing in order to compete or host games even. The state has provided the antigen testing, the BiNeXT Now, for schools to use to do regular testing. And the antigen testing is not a PCR test, such as the one performed at PMC, but is a low-level indicator of possible infection. So only possible infection, results of which would need to be confirmed by a follow-up of the PCR test. This strategy is being used in our return to play process due to the community's outbreak and red status. And is it Mr. Cabral or is it Ms. KP? Are you going to be filling us in kind of on the background on that?
I can give you a little background and then I think we will turn it over to Mr. Cabral. He's had as many probably Zoom meetings as I have about all these things too. So, but yes, just the BiNeXT Now, I talked about this a little bit today at the noon show as well, but just it's been available for a few months through the state and school districts could be eligible to utilize it if it was recommended. And for us in this community, with our numbers the way they were throughout, and with our mitigation strategies and plans that were in place, we did not feel that it was needed. And our medical advisors here locally as well, you know, actually, you know, felt the same way. And they felt that with the strategies that we had in place and just the numbers the way they were looking and the communities that we were potentially traveling to or that were traveling here, we all felt pretty good about it. And then you know, February 20th hit or whatever. And so it's been kind of the door kind of slamming a little bit on us and kind of shooting us through the roof a bit. So then getting a little more guidance from DHSS and then locally where they felt that it would be important for not like global screening. They're not recommending that, but looking at screening for some of the groups, and mostly this is about travel as well. So it's mixing, you know, students at the high school level. This is specifically what we're talking about right now is high school, but and really it's the travel component that is taking it to this next level because of the numbers of cases that we do have here. We do not have any schools that will be eligible to travel here at this point, and they don't want us to come to them either, just to be blunt. So with the way the numbers look. So this is a proactive look as well, in addition to potentially detecting any cases that might be among our student body or within our school or community, but also just to help us be more proactive in that and allow schools to feel more confident coming to visit us for competition and for us to be able to travel. Most of the districts in Southeast are green to green only travel. So it limits us, and we won't be down to, you know, one or two or three cases tomorrow. So this is a bit of the background behind it and why we would like to move forward with this at this point to get us back in the gyms and in our activities. So Jamie, you want to take it from there?
You said it all. No, that's perfect. Yeah. Right now where we are community wise in the red declaration, we are not accepting any team, nor are we traveling or even practicing. So this, looking at the antigen testing, we really didn't look at it a whole lot, like Erica said early on, because our mitigation plans were working really well, limiting to who's coming into the gymnasiums, who's at practice, how many people at a practice, all of those different things, all the screening things that we were doing prior to. And then with the masking piece, we typically as a region follow what the state does for their state tournaments. That way our kids are used to the protocols that are in place. So prior to February 22nd, we weren't requiring masks to participate. A couple school districts made it mandatory that they play with masks. The state came by and said that at the state tournament, masks are required. So we would get back into that groove of having kids use masks while we're indoors. But outdoors, it is only when we break that 6-foot barrier. But just with the antigen testing, we would be only looking at our high risk high school students only for this weekly antigen testing. And it is only for high school activities that do interscholastic in-person competition or travel. So this would not be for our middle school population because they do not travel right now with our intramural program. It is mostly for our activities that travel and start to compete against other schools. And then the masking piece within the new mitigation plan that I created, kind of just looking at masking during all activities indoors and then with the masking during all activities outdoors when 6 feet of distance cannot be maintained. With the antigen testing and some of the modules that I've gone through, we would not test any known student that possibly that tested positive for COVID. We do not need to antigen test those students because it's a 90-day window from the CDC. Any student that would have symptoms, we are not testing them as we're not testing them as well because they wouldn't be showing up. So basically what it would look like is one day a week, we would antigen test the only the students that are involved in interscholastic in-person competition that travel back and forth. That's the only group that we would be looking at testing. So right now, if we did all of our winter activities or our basketball programs that are going right now, it'd be about 33 individuals. We get a test result in about 15 minutes. A lot of different things that happen. So say player A comes in and we antigen test them, we get a negative, they're good to go for the week. If they were traveling that weekend, we would ask them to get a PCR test, which is free right now if we flew, because I think that goes till June 30th is the final date with the free testing up at the airports. If we did have someone test positive with the antigen test, we would follow kind of our protocols of you have a symptom or you're showing a sign of COVID-19, and then they would be referred to get a PCR test. If that PCR test came back negative, they would be automatically reinstated. If it came back positive, they would follow DHSS protocol on a positive COVID person. So that's kind of what the antigen test looks like in a nutshell, basically. So it would be a weekly test that it gives us the possibility of knowing our kids are not positive and keeping our activities and academics rolling as much as possible, but also giving the comfort for other schools accepting us to travel. So that's another piece of it. Cause right now we don't have any games scheduled. All of our games have been postponed. As far as what two-way basketball is going to look like, that's kind of a work in progress and a day-to-day standby of what it's going to look like for the rest of the school year. Cause we're kind of almost to we're on a time frame now just because the season's almost close to the end. So we are fortunate to have some. We do have some regions within the state that are not doing any activities, but if we have the availability to do it, this is one way that we're looking at to get our kids back and involved in activities. But this would only be for high school students that are involved in interscholastic in-person competition that involve travel. That's the only group we're looking at. That's our highest risk group. It's not meant to be for every single kid involved in an activity.
Jamie, maybe I missed it. What other schools in Southeast are there schools already implementing this, or which ones are jumping on the bandwagon real quick here?
No, I think we might have a lot more schools jump on the bandwagon if they make it mandatory, especially for wrestling, just because of the really, really close contact that they're going to be between two individuals. That might be within a school's mitigation plan. Like if our mitigation plan required your team before you come and play us has to have an antigen test minimum or a negative PCR, that could be built into some school's mitigation plan. So if we don't get that, we can't go and participate at that school if they're hosting an event. Sitka is already doing it once a week, and they're doing the masking as well. But Mount Edgecombe is also doing testing, but they have access to a different type of test. They are actually PCR testing their students because of their dormitory type of setup that they have at Mount Edgecombe. But those are the schools that have really dove into the testing piece.
Haynes is as well.
Haynes is weekly PCR testing as well.
Gagway, I think, is doing antigen testing as well.
Yep.
And Juno.
Yep.
And Metlakatla, are they doing antigen?
Metlakatla is not testing yet. They just have their strict travel numbers.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, so right now I had to stop my video because I was losing you guys. I was having trouble with my internet connection. It's not required right now by our association?
Not by the state association, but the region is really looking. A lot of the region schools are looking at it to be required before they come to participate in an in-person competition. Some are making it part of their mitigation plan that they do get tested prior to participating in any game. It may become mandatory at the state level for all state tournaments, those that are participating, but that hasn't been decided yet.
Okay.
But not required by ASAA at all, by our state association. The flip side to this, if we don't do the testing, basically we just kind of operate and hope to be in a green level and continue our mitigation policies that we have been doing. The masking is something that I think our kids will unfortunately have to get used to because that's what's required at the state level. So if we wanted to participate in the state competition for basketball, we would have to mask at the state competition during the games, which the state has put out guidance for that.
Are you seeing from other towns if they require the testing, do they also require the town to be in green? What I'm trying to drive at is, you know, we might have another flare up in Petersburg and it could be a different set of people that where we're not affecting necessarily the school district as much. I mean, even this past go around, it sounds like we had very few, if any, middle school, high school students. So then maybe that's, you know, our town might be under stress from a number, but maybe not our actual high school population. Are you seeing mitigation plans that would still allow that as long as testing was done? So that's what I'm just wondering, do we have to have both? Testing is, you know, are they going toward that testing as well as a green?
No, not many are moving towards where the testing and green are required components. But I do see if testing was in place and our community was in yellow, but our school was green, that might make that community that we're going to and that school feel a little bit more comfortable that we know the kids that we're bringing are tested and they do have negatives prior to leaving our community going to their community. That could possibly make a yellow to yellow work. But right now with the green to green and not required testing and the access to the material is kind of a big one for some communities. But if it would be a possibility, if you know, say we're going to Craig and we were yellow and Craig said, are you guys testing? Yes, we are. Then they might accept us within their policies. Yeah. Gives an opportunity.
Jamie, what are the costs?
Right now, free. No cost at all. We let the Petersburg EOC know that we're looking into the antigen tests and they have them. And they can get a really good supply of them. And if we did all of our spring activities with kind of guesstimate numbers, including our winter sports that are still going right now, we'd be looking at about just under 600, maybe between 400 and 600 tests for the rest of the school year. But I think there is a great supply of these tests.
Jamie, is it a nasal swab?
Yes. Yep. The nasal swab is taken and instead of three rotations, it's five. The test indicator is a little card that we have to do training on, as well as get some help from the medical center to make these things happen. The nasal swab is then inserted into a card with a couple drops of fluid into the card itself to determine whether or not a positive is being picked up. And it's only picking up SARS-CoV-2. That is the only thing that it's looking for within the card. If we get an extra line, it'll show a positive. There are some pieces in there to where if a blue line doesn't show up, and when you look at the data, you understand what I'm saying. But if there's very tough protocols in place to know when that test is invalid or don't use that card if certain things don't show up. So sometimes you could have an invalid read, but then it'll just have you administer the test again, and we get test results within 15 minutes.
One more question.
Yep.
For anybody who's had different types of COVID tests in the last year, especially any students who might be nervous about it, this is a nasal swab like they're doing at the airport. It just goes in the nose like a little ways. It's not like the brain thing that's very uncomfortable.
Yep, it's not even close to, it's not even an inch that the swab goes up. Very, very similar to what they're doing at the airport.
Is Kinley still on? I'm curious if there's been any student chatter about this and how they're feeling about it. Is our student rep still there?
She just stepped away. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, when I met with the basketball teams, I let them know this is a possibility. So not sure. She would probably know if there was chatter going around.
So what happens? Can you remind us what the... If a student who is a player has tested positive in the last 90 days is one of our students. Yep. So do they just need to show proof from their doctor that they had a positive test so that they could be exempt from that test?
Yep. Okay. Yep. And if we did have a positive student, that student is required to go through a return to play protocol before they are back cleared for physical activity. Just because of the myocarditis that is showing up in as a post-secondary symptom from a COVID-19 positive. So the return to play has the date of diagnosis with COVID-19. So 90 days from that date, we would not test any student that was positive. Now, there may be kind of, if a student decided to quarantine when they were a close contact and not test and get a positive test result and decided to quarantine instead and we swabbed them, they could come up positive even though they quarantined already, but they never had a proof that they had a positive COVID-19 test. So that could make someone take another 10 days out if they decided to quarantine being a close contact and possibly had symptoms and decided not to test with a PCR. Does that make sense? Okay.
Sorry, I have a few questions.
Hey, Cheryl.
So it's only for high school, correct?
Yep.
Okay. And that's only for interscholastic play.
Yep.
Correct.
Yep.
Okay. So it's only for travel, for when they're going to travel, and playing games, right?
Right. We would do a weekly test on the students involved in that activity that is traveling.
Okay, so you wouldn't, because so I think about it, okay, so it's only for travel, so you would test like they're going to travel, so you need to test that week, right?
No, we would test every week, because with the schedule of activities coming up, they'd be traveling every week or hosting a home event during that week as well.
Okay.
Yep. So it would be every week.
Okay, so right now it'd be if we would be testing all the basketball players.
Yep.
Okay. And then we have possibly wrestling and baseball going back in. So really it's not, it's basically the same kids, really, in all reality.
Pretty much. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yep, it would be the same kids.
Okay, and I know you already said this, but can you reiterate, like, what is the AASB's position on it?
Oh, with the Alaska school activities?
Yes, yes.
They are not making a recommendation on the testing itself, it's based upon each school district, whether or not they want to test, but they could, they have not decided, their board has not decided whether or not they're going to make it mandatory to attend a state tournament with a negative test.
Okay. Sorry yeah. about that. I said AASB for
school. No, you're
board
good.
And not, so.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. No, yeah, they leaving it up to each community based upon, you know, their mitigation plans and what their community looks like. But it could be a possibility that we have a negative test prior to going to state. So say state was in, you know, a week, they may require, hey, every kid before they come up and your coaches have to have a negative test result prior to attending the state tournament.
Okay. I think... that's all I have right now. But so they won't be, so every week, so that like a Monday or a Friday, they take, get to antigen test.
Yep. Yep. And we kind of not sure what day, you know, if we were looking at it, a possible Thursday might be your best bet before they travel on the Friday or they leave Thursday afternoon. If we did get a positive, you know, on that Thursday route, we probably wouldn't send the team anyway because they'd all be close contacts. Kind of helps the community we're going to as well as us maybe, or do you do it every Monday? That hasn't been decided what day of the week it would be on.
Okay. Cause that would, cause I was, I can't remember what either was Metlakatla or Hayden's talking that they test every Monday.
Every so Monday.
Like, didn't make sense because especially if they leave on Thursday. But
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, if they're doing a PCR test, sometimes what that causes is a wait time to get those results back because those results have to be done in the state lab. And so those PCR tests, which are kind of the golden standard of testing, those take time to get back. So they might not have the result in time to leave or leave and get a result while they're gone.
Okay. Thank you, Jamie. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I have one other question. So you talk about doing this one day a week.
Yep.
So would this be a process of like calling them in to your office to do that? Like, how are we, I'm trying really hard not to picture them all huddled up. All right, everybody swab your nose and then staring at cards all together. So obviously there's some kind of, you have a plan to maintain confidentiality in all of this.
Yeah.
Could you walk us through that? Because I do, I know there's quite a few folks that are concerned about that as well.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. Right now, our station for anyone showing a symptom is our nurses station in the PHS high school office. We're kind of our nurses station. That's where we would administer the test, and we don't want to rush through it because what can happen is that the tests get mixed. And you have to make sure that they're, you know, they're properly labeled. You're doing the right individual. They are administering their swab themselves. It is not me swabbing them. It's the student or whoever's taking the antigen test. They're the ones administering the swab themselves. And so the protocols in place and the security piece is really tight when we make that happen. Every single test that we take gets reported to DHSS, even a negative. So there's a spreadsheet that we have to follow that we have to do. We have to get a CLIA waiver from the state in order to make it happen. So there's a lot of protocols in place to make it happen. So we would have the student that is coming in for a test, coming to the nurse's station, get their swab, wait for the result. We get a negative, they're good. Next individual came in. If we did get a positive, they would stay in that room until an adult or their parent comes and picks them up. And then refer them to DHSS because we had a positive antigen test and they would get a PCR after that one. And then wait for the PCR result. If it came back negative, they're good. If the PCR came back positive, then we would follow the same protocols as we did with that we would with a positive student. Yeah. And these would go for the coaches too, because the coaches are traveling. So the coaches would also be doing antigen tests weekly.
Hey, it's Meg. That sounds like kind of a logistical nightmare for them to have to go in and wait in there for 15 minutes and somebody's going to have to supervise that. So I'm sorry that you have to do that. However, that being said, I had quite a few questions after our parent feedback that we received earlier, and I think they all got answered. I think my biggest concern in hearing that was middle school or kids who are doing those intramurals, or they're not really traveling, you know, is it really necessary? It feels invasive. But I'm thinking for high school students, they're at the point, I have a high school wrestler, he's desperate to get on the mat, he's desperate to get maybe to, you know, Craig or even Wrangle and wrestle. I think for these guys, they're old enough to be able to say, hey, this is sort of my ticket to play and I want to play. They want to play. They want to be practicing. They want to get out there. And if this helps them do that safely and helps other communities feel comfortable with interacting with Petersburg, particularly considering recent circumstances, I think it seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah, that's the route we went to, just thinking this might be kind of the only way we could get back to competition, yet keeping our kids safe, our opponents safe, our community safe, as well as keep academics rolling as long as possible. Because I know the one biggest thing our kids do miss too is not just the activities portion, but school itself. And I know they want to get back in, but this was just another screening way to have things happen safely for everyone and still have our activities for our kids. Because we know a lot of them identify with as, you know, not just a student, but a wrestler or a basketball player or a track and field kid or a baseball player. But yeah, for our intramural kids in middle school, for our esports kids, this would not be a requirement because they are not traveling or doing interscholastic with another team.
Thank you for taking the time, Jamie and Erica, and explaining all of that.
You bet.
Okay. Any other questions, concerns? I see it as kind of going along with a health. They all have to have updated health screenings. So it's kind of along the same lines, just because of the nature of the world. You know, maybe in a year from now, we're not going to be meeting this, fingers crossed. But if it gets our kids being able to play again, I think it's a, I don't want to say necessary evil because I don't think it's evil, but necessary hoop maybe is the right word to jump through, just so we can get kids back in the gym and playing. But it would be interesting to hear from high school students what their opinion are on it, just what their thoughts are. I'm kind of curious. I might have to poll a few relatives just because I'm curious more than anything. Yeah. I feel like if I was their age, I would just be like, that's fine, whatever. I just want to get back. I just want to get back to doing my activity.
Yeah.
This is Katie again, not to keep dragging this whole subject out, but because you did provide a lot of great information and I've been sitting on the fence since I read about it. Anyway, just on my thoughts on it. I think other than the confidentiality piece, like that was big for me. But you cleared that up. I am concerned that it being another hoop to jump through, and we already don't have a huge school anyway, but I imagine like this happening when I was in high school, something like this, and it would eliminate so many kids from participating. And then you only have like these really stellar, oh yeah, basketball's my life kind of kids. And it eliminates the ones that still benefit from participating and from the team sport aspect, because it's another hoop to jump through. I'm not going to play in college. It's not my dream, whatever. And now you've cut them out because this is another hoop to jump through, which I understand it's school sponsored sports. So maybe Park and Rec could offer something. And that's a whole nother rabbit hole. I worry about the lack of that diversity piece on our teams, because it will potentially be just the really gung-ho athletes that are going to stick with a sport no matter what. And that's just my opinion on it. I'm still kind of, I don't know what side I'm falling on here. It's tough. I'm sick of everything.
Yeah. Amy, what was your sense when you did present this and discuss it with the kids?
You know, with no real questions from the kids, you know, I think it was just kind of them absorbing information. I think they were just more in the mode of when can we get back at it? But as far as the antigen test piece, that I didn't get much of a feel from the kiddos on what their thoughts were. And I just talked to whichever basketball player showed up to the meeting. But in the one school district that is doing it, every single kid has stuck it out. And the parents were pretty fine with it because they just want to watch their kids participate.
It's a good question, Katie. I think, and I do, I've asked other superintendents in different districts that are doing it as well for the same reason. And they've not seen a drop off. So that's been good. That's good information, I think, for us too, if that's helpful.
Yeah.
This is Cheryl. I kind of agree with Katie. It's kind of hard. I'm kind of on the fence of it while also. I'd like to revisit it. I don't want it to be on our books starting in the fall if we don't have to have that on there. I'd like to see how it goes. Maybe for the rest of the year or this, you know, maybe. I'm not sure. I just like to revisit it. I just don't want it to be there forever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's just it's a good point too, Cheryl, just to jump in. But I think it's, this is definitely part of, as Jamie writes and rewrites and rewrites again, the plans that change sometimes weekly and monthly. I think that's absolutely right. I mean, this is really coming as a response to recent events, and that's where we are. You know, we were kind of moving along. I mean, there was definitely some conversation at the state level about masking that was already happening. And there was a lot of, and there were a lot of districts that were moving toward the antigen testing. We just weren't there yet and we weren't ready for it and advised. I mean, because of the case numbers in the community. So it, you know, I think, just like Sarah or somebody said about, you know, talking about the vaccination, the next steps with vaccination, what does that look like? I think, unfortunately, this is one of the next steps, you know, just because of where we are right now. And so I think this is the mitigation plan for now. Maybe it's for the spring. And then absolutely, I think everything just keeps getting reevaluated, you know, based on new information and which I think that's just absolutely what we should be doing, just like you're saying, so.
Okay, thank you. You say it so much better than I do. I mean, really my huge concern is after spring break, what's gonna happen? I know I'm going off on a tangent, or could be, but it's just we could be just not doing anything, and it kind of worries me because I know everybody just wants to do their sports, so we'll just see what happens, I guess. So yes, I would like to revisit it eventually and all that kind of stuff. Everyone else will too, so yeah.
Okay,
this thank is you Katie, for everything have, Jamie,
you betcha.
I have one more question here, sorry again.
No problem.
So being that this would be a weekly test, would your consent form for this test be something that they sign right off the bat, it carries through, or students welcome to opt out for a week and say, I'm not going to travel, I don't want to do the test this week? Do they is it a weekly consent option each time they go to do the test? Do we have your consent?
No, it would be required for all in-person meetings. Any
Everything.
Other team function that included in-person contact, travel, competition, or any extracurricular in-person practice.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is it.
Yeah.
So they couldn't like just practice and then say, well, I don't want to travel.
Right. Cause yeah, if we did have that one time team. That we possibly, you know, missed that one, but yet they're interacting in person and we missed that one, then it would shut us down for 2 weeks and then we miss possible six games.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for clarifying.
Absolutely.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions? Okay. I don't know why I muted myself there. All right. Next, additional comments from board members.
Oh, we have some non-tenured contracts to offer.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. I skipped right over. I apologize, teachers. 16.2, non-tenured contracts. We have teachers that we are offering contracts to for the fall. And just for, if you're listening, I'll read them off in case you don't have the agenda in front of you. One is Heidi Cabral, Vanessa Miller, Hillary Mullen, Bridie Short, and I am going to butcher her first name. I'm so embarrassed. Mrs. Ward.
Iwana. Yes.
Iwana. Thank you. Sorry, Iwana, if you're listening, I apologize. I will get your name. Award. So it was more informational for those that are listening, but we've already had given our tenured contracted teachers their contracts last board meeting. And so now we're pleased and that we're able to provide this group of teachers contracts at this point. So I will make a motion to approve the list for the non-tenure teachers 21-22 school year. Could I have a second?
I second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion?
And that was Cheryl, by the way.
Sorry, yes, Cheryl.
Okay.
Motion's been made first by Sarah, seconded by Cheryl. Oh my. Katie, I should have just let you kept driving all evening.
No, I couldn't even do the pledge, Sarah. It was bad.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded by Cheryl. Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none. Mara, can you please call the roll?
Yep. Kinley Lister, is she still on, Jay?
She's not there right now.
Okay, so Jay Lister?
Yes.
Cheryl File?
Yes.
Meg Lidster?
Yes.
Katie Holmland?
Yes.
And Sarah Holmgreen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Next, we'll move on to additional comments from board members.
Didn't Mara have a letter? Did I miss a letter? She said she had a letter, but she was going to read it later. Have I missed it?
It was regarding Ginger and Joanne retiring. We did not read the letter, but Superintendent Glute Painter gave them some recognition.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything. Thank you.
Okay. Any comments? I guess my only comments are is I do, because I kind of missed the beginning of the board meeting, and I apologize to the community as well as my fellow board members and everybody else. But I want to thank Ms. Day and Ms. Evans for their long tenure at our school district and how many teachers or how many students they've touched over the years and affected in such positive ways. And we wish them the best in their retirement. And I also want to thank Amanda Omer for spending some time on the board. We don't often hear from the community during board meetings. And so we appreciate when people take the time to let us know their position and information. So I appreciate when people are able to call in. So any other comments from board members? If not, we'll move on to upcoming dates and meeting announcements. So we do have our academic and activity calendar on the website, pcsd.us. And hopefully we'll be able to get back to some of those activities soon. Okay, future agenda items.
Sarah, this is Cheryl.
Go ahead.
And I would like us to maybe possibly review our Smart Start program.
Okay.
Because in the past, I know that teachers have had issues with the yellow section of I've heard that it's a hard time having live kids in the classroom and online kids. So I think we need to find something in the middle. So if maybe we can have that come about our next meeting or somewhere along the lines, whenever Rick and them are ready. Before our next year would be great.
That sounds good. We have the same impression as well.
Great.
Okay. Any other new business then? I think we'll plan on keeping the travel document on there, and then maybe we're adding potentially a review of the antigen testing to see any updates, information on that. Would be, I guess, under future agenda items, just to keep that on as old business.
Hey, I guess sir. We're moving
into, yeah, go ahead, Megan.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, yes, I like that idea of maybe hearing an update on the antigen testing at the next meeting, just if we've started, how it's going, if it's useful, if we're back in green, is it, you know, all those kind of things.
And then maybe if Kinley can, might be part of her report as well, just from the student perspective. Okay, any other new business, or if board members, if you think about it, not even tonight, but over the next few weeks, just let me or Mara know. And we'll make sure we can add it to the agenda. Okay, hearing nothing else, I'll make a motion to adjourn. Could I have a second?
I second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Cheryl. Mara, can you please call the roll?
Yes. Katie Holmlin?
Yes.
Cheryl File?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Meg Litster?
Yes.
And Sarah Holmgren?
Yes. Meeting's adjourned. Thank you and have a good evening.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.
And you have been listening to the live Petersburg School Board meeting. It just wrapped up. The time is 7:40, so the meeting lasted an hour and 40 minutes. If you missed the meeting earlier on and you want to listen to the whole thing, Campus K will be posting the audio of the meeting to our website later on, so look for that.